Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Glad to see everybody here. Hope your week went well. One announcement, Preston mentioned it during his announcements, but a week from Thursday on October 6th is the bagging the food for serving our kids. And there's a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board back there. If you plan on going to that, it's at 6 o'clock a week from this Thursday. Be sure and sign up so we know who's attending for that. And don't forget the singing next Sunday. It will be at Bright Angel starting at 2 o'clock. I'm sorry?
I said don't forget the pizza after.
Oh, yeah, don't forget the pizza after the serving our kids. But the singing is next week up at Bright Angel at 2 o'clock. Got a fairly short, to-the-point lesson today. The title of it, Am I My Brother's Keeper? This comes from the book of Genesis, the 4th chapter, where out of jealousy and anger and so forth, Cain will kill his brother. The first murder we have in the Bible. I guess the oldest crime in the Bible. Didn't take long for man to mess up. But he had killed his brother because he had offered a better, more acceptable sacrifice to God. And he wound up killing his brother. And in verse 9, it says, then the Lord said to Cain, I love how God, when he, back in the days when he would talk to people, how he'd answer questions that he already knew the answer to. But he says, where is Abel, your brother? And Cain says, he said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Trying to get out of it. And the answer was undoubtedly yes. That's the answer. There's a sermon right there. We'll keep talking a little bit, but that's the answer. There's the lesson right there. Am I my brother's keeper? Now, he was talking about his physical brother, but are we our brother's and sister's keeper? Yes. End of lesson. Let's look at some of the ways we are. How are we our brother's keeper? We are accountable to each other. That's what is one of the things that kind of helps inspire us to do good, to stay on that right path. And we need to make sure our brothers and sisters are on that right path also. One of the ways is our love and our care for one another. It's not in a world that preaches something totally different. This is a foreign concept to the world. The world, it's all about me. In the world, it's all about how something affects me. When it starts affecting my world, that's the last thing as a Christian. A lot of things come before us as a Christian. And this is a true love for each other. A concerned, agape, a brotherly love. Not a brotherly love like Cain had. And it does make a difference. It does make a difference when we have this love and this care. People are so in need of that. In the world, they want to have that. They're looking for it. They're searching for it through ungodly ways. Through alcohol, through drugs, through sin. But this true love, you can only get through Christ and through us. You guys are so good about keeping connected through cards, through texts, through emails, phone calls. A flower left on the doorstep of a brother or sister. A group of people, a group of the ladies dropped by some food and snacks for Kurt and Debbie the other day. Made their day. Impressed Debbie. You guys are doing that. And the sharing of each other's lives. If it's not a true love, this sharing of each other's lives is just becomes a program. Nobody wants to be a list of somebody's got to go visit. Oh, it's my week to do this. That's not true love. And it's hard to do without fellowship. This kind of love and this kind of care for each other is hard to do without connection, without fellowshipping each other. It's hard to do. In John 13, this is the passage that Ken read earlier. Jesus is talking to his followers. He says, a new commandment I give to you. I find, and this is a whole separate issue, when I was studying this for this lesson, this phrase, a new commandment, that separates Jesus from any other teacher. Jesus has the credentials to give people a new commandment. Other teachers and rabbis didn't have the authority to give a new commandment. They could expound, they could explain, which was their purpose, the commandments. Jesus is giving them a new commandment. That's kind of going above and beyond what any other teacher does. Amen. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, but that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. I find it interesting. We're reading this on this side of time. When it says, as I have loved you, we know what ultimate love Jesus will eventually give his life on the cross. At this time, he had not done that. He had shown them that true love, though, in his day-to-day connection with them, his healings, his forgiving, his loving manner. He hadn't died yet. Now, we can look back and see the ways how he had loved them. He wound up dying on a cross, something that we could not fulfill ourselves. In Galatians 6:10, Paul said, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. Paul, why did you have to use that word, all? Those ones I don't like? You pick up on that, Ann? We got to do good to all, not just my friends, but those sourpusses at work. That neighbor that never has a good word to say. Let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith, our brothers and sisters. That's one way that we can demonstrate our love for one another. Paul said, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. That last part, in honor, giving preference to one another. As a Christian, it's not about me anymore. In fact, we come individually, we come pretty far down on the list. God comes first. We give to our family. We give to others. And down the line comes us. And it's an honor to do that. In honor, giving preference to each other. In Ephesians 4, Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. That's a high calling, to live up to that title, Christian, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. And I will be the first to say, some people takes a little bit more long suffering than others, but we have to do it. We have to do it. Another way that we are accountable and our brother's keeper is to teach each other, is to teach and to learn and make them better through sound doctrine. We've been talking in our Sunday morning class about the importance of sound doctrine in evangelism. We do it at home, at work, and of course here. We teach by example. Our lives should be a living sermon every day. Not just Sunday, some short, fat, bald guy getting up and spouting words. Our lives to each other should be a sermon. We should be getting sermons daily from multiple people and giving sermons to multiple people through our lives. And again, it's hard to do without fellowship, without the coming together. It's hard to do this with somebody that just shows up on a Sunday morning to worship. We have maybe a few minutes before, because we're really not interacting right now. You're listening and I'm talking. I may spark some interest, may spark a thought here or there, but we're not interacting. We have a few minutes before and a few minutes after. One time a week for a few minutes, if that's all it is, it's hard to do without fellowship with each other, getting involved in each other's lives. In Acts 18, verse 26, it's talking about Apollos. And Apollos was a man mighty in the scriptures. He'd have been a great person to have listened to. And it says, so he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. There's a lot of things in this one verse. The idea that even a man as so eloquent and mighty in the scriptures as an Apollos could still learn from this humble couple, Aquila and Priscilla. And it shows the way they taught. They didn't put him on blast and give him both barrels. You know, you're teaching false doctrine. No, hey, Apollos. They took him aside and they taught him accurately. And he would just think of the power at his disposal, a man so eloquent as him, now that he's got a little bit more polishing because of this couple, what he's going to be able to do. In 1 Corinthians 4:17, it says, for this reason I have sent Timothy to you. Paul's talking to the Corinthians, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways as I teach everywhere in every church. This is important to preach the doctrine of Christ. And whether it's coming from Jesus, whether it's coming from Paul, whether it's coming from Timothy, or whether it's coming from us, as long as we are teaching what the Bible says, we're spreading that word. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We've been doing that. Daryl's been leading us in our songs this morning. This reminds me, tonight is the last Sunday of the month, our singing in scripture worship on Sunday night, where we will be reading passages from God's word and singing songs of praise to God and teaching and admonishing one another through those songs. That's why it's so important to make sure we sing songs that are doctrinally sound. And that's what I appreciate so much about our song leaders, picking sound songs that teach a lesson. 2 Timothy 4:2, we use this in Bible class this morning. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. That's not just to people that don't know the word. That's for us as well. Amen. To each other. 2 Timothy 2:2, just a couple of chapters before that, Paul wrote, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." It didn't end with Paul. It didn't end with Jesus. When Jesus ascended back up into heaven, the message didn't end with him. He had trained other people to teach. Paul trained other people who would train others, who would train others. And somebody has taught you. And the question is, who are you going to teach? Who will you inspire? And another way to show love and care for each other is to encourage, to inspire others. One of the greatest compliments I could give somebody else is they've helped make me a better person. And I hope I can do that to them. And it takes a special person to make somebody else want to be better. Again, we're seeing a common thread. It's kind of hard to do without fellowship. James 5:20, "Let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." One of my favorite passages that I get an awful lot from is Proverbs 27:17. "As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." Do the people you hang around make you better? Or do you have to kind of guard yourself from slipping by hanging around those people? What a great source it is for two friends to make each other better and to just go to something higher. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, Paul wrote, "Therefore comfort each other and edify one another just as you are also doing." He's encouraging them to keep doing what you're doing. You're already doing it. Keep it going. And this is the verse we're going to end with. Just like you're doing, keep it going. We are our brother's keeper. And that's the question of the day. Am I my brother's keeper? Am I my sister's keeper? A resounding yes. If you need to respond to the invitation this morning through prayers, through repentance, through baptism, through wanting to identify with working and worshiping with us here at South Valley, whatever your need, please come forward. Let your needs be known. We'll address those. Let's stand and sing.